As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God. When can I go and meet with God? You can meet him in this place, in this hour.
Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day, and wherever we are in the presence of God, we are on holy ground. As we gather here to worship this day, we want to welcome any guests that are here with us. Welcome here to First Baptist Church of Elon, and we look forward to worshiping you with you this day. It is a good day. It is a special day here at First Baptist Elon because we get kick-started off with our evening activities tonight. We are back into the swing of things with our fall activities. I want to encourage everyone to come out tonight for our evening activities that begin with for our children, our youth, and our adults. Just a reminder that our children's activities begin at 5 o'clock. It'll be from 5 to 6 p.m. Gay will be leading our children tonight. Our youth will get started at 5:30, from 5:30 to 7 tonight up in the youth room. Our adults will begin at 5:45. Jeff Pritchard will be leading the study. Why Revival Tarries. You heard me talk about the book last week. I had 10 copies of the book last week, and they got all gone last week. That is a great problem to have, so I ordered a couple more this week, so I have 3 more copies. So if you are interested in this study, see me today in the foyer. There's 3 copies I have ordered, and I will tell you if they all get gone today, I will order some more on Amazon this week. week, and I'll have them ready for next week's study. But this is a great study to be a part of tonight. That study will begin at 5:45 upstairs in the Truth Seeker classroom. If you don't have a book, please still come to the study tonight as we begin our evening activities tonight here at First Baptist Elon. Everyone is invited. It's a wonderful time of ministry and discipleship and fellowship this evening. Also, we'll remind our senior adults this Tuesday will be our senior adult luncheon, our quarterly luncheon. We look forward to a time of fellowship around the table. Look forward to a time of music and guitar playing by Ozzie Thompson, who will be coming to share his gift of music with us. It'll be a special time of fellowship. If you have not signed up for that luncheon, it is not too late. Please let me know today. We should have enough food, wonderful menu item, and that'll be at 11:30 on Tuesday. But please see me today if you have not signed up for that opportunity. And I also want to remind our men that this Saturday morning will be our men's breakfast at 8:30 upstairs in the fellowship hall. So I encourage you to come out to that time of fellowship this Saturday morning. There's many other things going on in the life of our church as we get back into the swinging things with our fall ministries. Many of those things will come out over email over the coming weeks. You'll see some of those items in the bulletin. You'll also see those in the newsletter. If you did not get your newsletter last Sunday, there are some copies still in the foyer. You also probably received that over email. But many other opportunities coming up in the life of our church in the coming weeks. You'll hear about one of those coming up from Paula about our Brunswick Stew coming up next month. So, yes.
Excuse me. I failed to get into the emails this week. Mm-hmm. The mission team does meet tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah, that was not in there. Missions team will meet tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, so if you are on the missions team, please make note of that in your calendar, 7 o'clock tomorrow evening for the missions team. Our opening scripture reading this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 18, reading verses 15 and 16. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from him among your own brothers. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb in the day of the assembly when you said, "Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die." As we reflect on this word, as we reflect on the call to have a prophet that comes before us, we know that that great prophet was Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, as we come to you this day, We proclaim the need to have you with us to proclaim your word. Father, we give you thanks for your presence, for the Spirit moving among us this day, moving within us, moving among our congregation, moving in our community, moving across our state and across this world. Father, we are a community looking for your guidance and your wisdom. May you show yourself and reveal yourself today, and may we follow. Father, we just ask that as we lift up song, as we read your word this day, as we lift up this prayer, as we hear Norman's message in just a few minutes, Father, may it all be pleasing to you, and may it show a direction. May it be a guide for us. Father, we just lift up this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the great prophet who gives us direction, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, Living Hope.
How great a chasm that lay between us, how high the mountains I could not climb. To desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus. Jesus Christ, my living hope. What could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down in glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. Then cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I am forever Jesus Christ, my living. Came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, the grave has no claim on me. Jesus Christ is a victory.
Good morning. I am here today to tell you about an opportunity that you have that you can't let pass you by. Okay? On October the 19th, there will be stew. I know your freezers are empty. You've been sitting around wondering, when am I going to get some stew? October the 19th is the day. But October the 19th, when you get up in the morning, and you get in your car and you ride over here to get your stew, it doesn't just appear out of the air. God doesn't send that down to us, okay? We have to do some work to get ready for stew. So that's what I need you all to begin to prayerfully consider, what your role in the stew is going to be. Okay, the proceeds from the sale each year are used for special missions outreach projects throughout the year. And so we know that this is an integral part of our mission outreach, that we need to get behind the stew. For the past 2 years, we've made 3 pots, and we have used every quart of that stew and had more people wanting it, okay? So here's the things that we need. We need somebody to start collecting boxes to use to package the stew orders. When you come to pick up your stew, we'll say, oh, you ordered 6 quarts, and we'll have a box ready to put in your car. Those boxes need to be collected. There's lots of good places to get them. I'll tell you if you want to take on that for us. We need someone to clean. We need someone. I heard the amen corner over here. Cleaning the shed so that we can store all the secret stew ingredients is there, okay? then somebody has to call all of our church members, or several people will need to call them and take their orders for the stew. And then this part's already been done. I've already done it. I've ordered the supplies and the secret stew ingredients. They are coming from Steve's Garden Market in Graham, and we have a standing order that is written in Wayne Hughes' handwriting that they have right there on the desk. So they know we're coming. Okay, then we need someone to order the gas and clean the pots and get the stew pots ready to go and all the other secret tools that we use to make the stew. Then we need some prep and some help cooking. You need to organize. We need someone to organize the ingredients for adding to the pots. That's fun to watch them do that. You need to come take part in that sometime. Cooking the beef and the pork. We've gotten that sort of down to a science, but we do it on Thursday and Friday before the stew because we don't cook the chicken anymore. It already comes pre-cooked. But if you want to be part of the cooking of the beef and the pork on Thursday and Friday, you can help with that. Then we have to set up that assembly line for getting everything ready. And then we have to start. Stir in the stew. Stir in the stew. Stir in the stew. Takes a long time to do three pots of stew. Dipping the stew, that means you dip it from the big giant pots into those tiny little containers. That's an art too. Then someone needs to clean up after we're done. And then someone needs to be there to sell the stew as people come to pick up their orders. So we have a job for everyone in here, plus everyone who's not here too. Okay? You can't be absent the 6 weeks before stew and then not do anything. We're going to get everybody together to work. Okay, so next Sunday in your bulletin, there's going to be a little slip of paper, and it's going to say, this is what I have prayerfully considered to do for the stew this year. And you can sign up, or you can see me, or you can see Jimmy Hughes right over there in the corner. We're ex officio members of the missions team that we sort of do stew, but if anybody else wants to become an ex officio member of the missions team and help with stew, we'll take you that too. But so that's where we stand right now. We also will be advertising. I was going to give these out today, but I couldn't get the copier to copy in color. So I'll have some little advertisements that you can take and put up around your area and help to advertise for stew too. And so we're on our way. Stew's a-coming. So we want you to be a part of it. Thank you.
Our offertory hymn this morning is hymn number 9. And if you want to look at the words in your book, you can. They're on the screen. The choir's going to sing it first time through, so you can hear how this song sounds and goes. And then y'all join in after we sing it through once. Let's stand and let's worship together. Everybody.
join together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this church that we attend. Thank you for being with us throughout all the activities of our lives, and knowing that we can depend on you helps us through the dark times and the good times. Please bless this offering that is brought today, and bless the givers, and let us all continue to be a witness to you in everything that we say and do. Amen.
Be seated.
Thank you.
Good morning. I got my visitors here. How about the rest of y'all? You're slipping now. Just bring one, bring two. We'll have a full house. Let's pray. Lord, indeed, you are worthy of our worship and worthy of our praise, and we come with glad hearts this day to be in the presence of your people with you in our midst. It's been a tough week for many folks, some who have gone through some really dangerous times with the storm. We pray that you would minister to them as only you can, that you would bring that hope and use those who volunteer to go and to give and to share and to uplift and to rebuild. For that is what you do in our lives. You come again and again and again to lift us up when we are low, to keep us moving forward and on the go. Forgive us for our failings, O God, and may we have a forgiving spirit of our neighbors. Speak to us this day through your word, that we might be challenged in the living of our days. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. We continue this morning in Acts chapter 7, beginning with verse 54. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was there, giving approval to his death. The word of God for the people of God. If you were here last week, you noticed how I was really having a difficult time last week. It was a really struggle. So this week I have decided to invite somebody else to preach for me today. His name is Stephen. He was one of the seven chosen to help with the widows in the Jerusalem church. Stephen's sermon is one of the longest recorded in the New Testament. It is the entire seventh chapter of the book of Acts. It's devoted to his sermon and the response to his sermon. You know, every sermon requires a response. I encourage you this afternoon to take 10 minutes and go home and read the seventh chapter of Acts. As you remember from a couple weeks ago, it all started with Stephen's arrest and his trial before the high court of Israel, called the Sanhedrin. And the short version of the charges against Stephen was this: speaking against the temple and speaking against the Old Testament scriptures. And they were very serious charges indeed. The legal proceedings began as the high priest asked Stephen, "Are these charges true?" Now, Stephen did not plead guilty, and he did not plead not guilty. Instead, Stephen seized the opportunity to teach the story of Jesus through the history of the people of Israel. And remember, he's speaking to Israel's top theologians, their scholars, and their priests. And doing that, Stephen summarized the Old Testament in four stories. Those people of all people would know what those stories were all about, but he told it like they had never, ever heard it before. He was taking them somewhere that most of them did not want to go. And so we're going to look at Stephen's sermon this morning and the four points that he made. The first one was story one, and that was Abraham. Verse 2 of chapter 7. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land that I will show you. Now you remember that Abraham was the original Hebrew. He was the father of all Jewish people. His faith was legendary. He trusted God enough to leave his country, to leave his family, and just follow God, even though he had no earthly idea where he was going. God promised Abraham that he would be the father of a great number of descendants. But he and his wife were up in age, and they were childless. And yet Abraham, you remember, believed. He trusted God, even when all the evidence pointed in the other direction. But God kept his promise. God gave Abraham and Sarah a son, and that son had children, and they had children, and they had children. And the next thing you know, there's a clan of over 1 million people. So what's the point, Stephen? The point is that the great Abraham worshiped God long before there was ever a temple. Faith is more important than place. Easy story. Point two, Joseph, beginning in verse 9. Because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave into Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him from all of his troubles. He gave Joseph wisdom and enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and so he made him ruler over Egypt and all his palace. It's a rags-to-riches story of a young man who is sold into slavery, who ended up prime minister of Egypt. And he was second only to Pharaoh himself. God used Joseph to save his own family and all of God's people from starvation during the great famine that came. So what's the point, Stephen? The point is that God was with his people in Egypt, of all places. Remember, Egypt was the enemy of Israel, but God was there, and God was great, and God was good, not in the temple in Egypt. Story three, Moses. Now, you know the story of Moses. It's the longest part of Stephen's sermon. What started out as a good deal for Israel with food and land and one of their own as prime minister in Egypt turned into cruel slavery. A new Pharaoh came who knew not Joseph. And so trouble came, and the Hebrews were enslaved there. And so God intervened in a different way through a baby who was condemned to die. Moses, you remember, was born to a Jewish couple at a time when all the Jewish boy babies were ordered to be killed. But Moses, you remember, was adopted into the family of Pharaoh, and he grew up in the palace. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to help his fellow Jews, but lo and behold, they turned against him. And so he ran away to the desert of Midian, where he married a foreign woman and fathered two sons. When Moses was 80 years old, God spoke to him through a burning bush out in the desert and told him to return to Egypt and set the nation of Israel free. God said to Moses, "Take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy ground." Moses was the great lawgiver. He was considered to be the author of the first five books of the Old Testament. He delivered the Ten Commandments from God to the people. And Moses predicted the coming Messiah. In Deuteronomy 18, he said, "God will send you a prophet like me from your own people." And you know what the Hebrew people did? They rejected Moses' leadership. They refused to obey the word of God as Moses delivered it. They were led out of slavery. But what did they want to do? They wanted to return back into slavery so they could get a good chow. They were hungry. They were sick of manna. They wanted to go back to Egypt. And so when they melted down their gold jewelry and they made it into a golden calf. And then they worshiped the calf instead of the living God who had brought them out of slavery. So what's the point, Stephen? The point is that God called the dirt under a bush in a desert holy ground, and he wasn't talking about any fancy temple in Jerusalem. The point is that the ancestors of those who were serving on the Sanhedrin rejected Moses and rejected the law that Moses brought from God. The very thing they accused Stephen of doing and they had accused Jesus of doing. Talk about hypocrites. Story 4, David and Solomon. David and Solomon, you know, were the kings who first built the temple. They started out with a cloth tent called a tabernacle. It wasn't a stone palace called a temple. When the temple was finally constructed, one of Israel's greatest prophets made it very clear that God is not limited to one special spot. The prophet Isaiah said, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Has not my hand made all of these things?" One more time, Stephen. What's your point? Stephen's point is that the Jews worship God in the tabernacle before there ever was a temple, and that their prophets had said that God is infinitely so much bigger than the temple that he couldn't possibly fit in it. Is not your God that big? I hope so, because if he's not, you got the wrong God. Now, if we put all of Stephen's points together from his sermon, what do we have? First of all, God rules what happens in history. We all say that we believe that, and then we try to figure out how we can influence everything. God rules what happens in history. From Abraham to Joseph, Moses, David, Solomon, all the way to you and me in this day, God is in charge of history. God has a plan. It's all going somewhere. It all means something. In fact, it all leads to Jesus of Nazareth. Number two, Stephen was more biblical than his critics. They accused him of not believing the Old Testament, but he was more biblical than they were. He didn't reject the scriptures. They did. He was loyal to the scriptures. Number three, God is not limited to one place, the temple. As important as the temple was, as important as our little church here is to each of us, it cannot contain God. God was in Mesopotamia. God was in Egypt. God was in the tabernacle. God is in heaven. God is everywhere. He is the God of people, not places. Temples are temporary. God is eternal. Number four, Israel consistently rebels against God. That was a harsh blow for Stephen's listeners to hear. He reminded them that their ancestors had rejected Moses and the law he gave, and lo and behold, they were just like their ancestors. Next point, Jesus. The whole sermon led to Jesus. Moses predicted that Jesus would come. And just as their predecessors, their ancestors, rejected Moses 1,500 years before, so they were rejecting Moses and Jesus themselves. And then Stephen comes forcibly to the conclusion of his sermon. Go back to verse 51 in chapter 7. That's what he said. You stiff-necked people. That's a harsh word. You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. You are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet that your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels, but have not obeyed it. In other words, you stupid, stubborn jerks. You're just like your ancestors. Nothing's changed. They killed the prophets of God, and you killed the Son of God. No wonder they didn't like hearing that. Every time he said to them, God gives you privileges, you blow it. Isn't it about time that you changed your ways and believed in Jesus as the Messiah who came to take away the sins of the world? Isn't it? And what did the people do? They killed him. They killed him. They got so angry they were out of control. It was like a mob lynching because the Sanhedrin had no right and no power under Roman law to punish. But they did it anyway. And if it was like other stonings that went on during that day, they dragged Stephen to a cliff and threw him off. And if the fall didn't kill him, then they picked up rocks and threw it at him until he died. And it started with those who had made the accusations. Just imagine the faces of his executioners, distorted and flushed and hostile and vicious. Scripture says, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see heaven open up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. If you think about it, Stephen's last words echoed the dying words of his Lord. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he fell on his knees. And he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Stephen lived a righteous life. He died a martyr's death, and he saw Jesus standing with open arms to welcome him. If you read Scripture, you know that the Bible usually pictures Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. But Jesus stood to welcome Stephen. May you be like Stephen, so that one day with open arms, Jesus will stand to welcome you. It all begins by admitting that you are a sinner and you turn in to repent. That is, you turn away from God, you tell him you're sorry, and you start acting the way you know you're supposed to. Then you believe that Jesus is the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world, even yours, that he can and will forgive your sin when you repent of your sin. And then you confess that he is Lord and Savior of your life and follow in believer's baptism. If you haven't done it in the past, think about it. Pray about it. Follow the will of the Holy Spirit in your life. Today may be the day of salvation for you. The rest of you folks in here, you can come and recommit yourself to living for Christ today. Come join this church by letter, by statement of faith, as a baptized believer. May your life and my life be a sermon to the glory of God. Would you come?